heaven, Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Lord, we have to trust in and call upon, who hears the cries of His children and answers them in accord with His will, and that's always in our best interest. And because of that, we have every reason to come boldly to a throne of grace, as the Lord has called us to that, and cry to Him and look to Him for what we stand in need of this very morning while we are here together to worship the Lord. Don't believe any of this is an accident. I don't believe our lives are running just on our own course in our own way, that we are just a product of random chance and happened things that just happen to be. But I believe in the providential care of Almighty God over every one of His children, that there's not a thing that occurs in our lives that God is not already aware of, and has already supplied for us all that we need so that we'll be able to endure whatever might come our way in this world. And that we as God's little children are called upon as His children to trust in Him and lean upon Him in all of the storms of life. And when we do that, we'll find a joy and a rest and a peace that cannot be found in this world. And all the money in this world won't give it to you. All of the riches, all of the power the world might have or could give to you won't give it to you. It's the only way a little child of God can truly find rest and peace and joy in this present evil world. And I know you're there on the bench praying that the Lord would just bless you with some understanding of His Word, a little clearer, a little better, that you might grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. And the old adversary is right close by. Wherever God's children are, you'll find the old adversary there just waiting to try to rob whatever's sown in your heart, or try to steal your joy, to rob your mind and your thought from the things of God and have you go somewhere else. And you're in the middle of a fight, and I'm in the middle of a fight even here in the pulpit, and that's a warfare that we'll fight as long as we're breathing air and we're in this world. And my encouragement to you this morning is to fight the good fight of faith, that you just trust in the Lord and you lean upon Him, and wherever you are in life, He'll supply what you stand in need of to be able to not only be in the battle, but to win the battle. The scripture says you're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And that's through what Jesus has done for you. If you hear me saying anything other than that this morning, then you've either misunderstood me or I've misspoken, because I don't want to say anything but the Lord wins the battle. And He has won the battle, and we have victory today in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to walk in Him, to lean upon Him, and to live our lives looking to Him. And the parable I'm about to read in your hearing really teaches that. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14 this morning. I was praying last night, and Brother Joe called me, and I said, "Brother Joe, what do you have on your mind?" And the reason I asked him is primarily I didn't have anything on my mind, and I was hoping he would stir me up to some portion of Scripture. Well, that conversation went, as many conversations go, it didn't really produce anything too much other than two preachers talking about how we felt like the Lord really needed to bless us with some thoughts if we were going to rest well and be able to be a church and be a benefit to the Lord's people. And we kind of left one another with the idea and thought we'd pray for one another, that the Lord would just supply something on our minds. And I've told you before that I like to go to bed with something on my mind, especially when it's the day before I'm supposed to speak unto the Lord's people. It doesn't mean I'm going to speak on it, but it does mean I sleep a little better, because when I have something on my mind, I at least feel like, well, I've got some thoughts. When you go to bed and you just can't seem to be settled, it isn't that we don't have some understanding of the Word of God and some knowledge of what they are, but you don't feel an unction of the Spirit to, this is where you need to be, you know, and I long to have that. And last night I was blessed for a little while just before I went to bed with some thoughts. They're still there this morning, at least at the moment. And I pray that the Lord would just bless us together to share some of the things that I feel like He allowed me to see last night in a way that really helped me. It was an encouragement to have that time of fellowship with the Lord. And so you pray that the Lord would just bless us today to be able to share with you and be a benefit to you as the Lord blesses us. And if that's the case, then to God be the glory, because every good thing comes from the Lord. We water, we plant, but it's God that does what? Gives the increase. And that's where the increase will have to come from. This lesson is all about that as well. So if you have your Bibles, we'll read the passage, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. It's concerning the kingdom of heaven, which is not here in this particular place talking about our eternal home in heaven, but it's talking about the kingdom that we're enjoying now, I believe, that the Lord has allowed us to have and enjoy in His church in this gospel age as we've lived here in this world and we're occupying right now until the Lord comes again. We're in that period of time where we look back on what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He came down from heaven. He that was in heaven with the Father came at the will of the Father down into this earth. He descended down into this earth in order that He would do for us what only He could do in taking upon Himself a body of flesh and then living a perfect life and then loving us enough that He died on the cross and there at Calvary for His children that were given to Him even before the foundation of the world. He took their sins in His own body. They were taken off of us and placed upon Him. And there at Calvary, Isaiah says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the reason we can have peace, was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. And He did all that for us because of His great love for us. And that's what He did. And then, once He had done that at Calvary, He died and He went to the grave. And there in the grave, He remained for 3 days and 3 nights. And on that third revolving morning, He comes forth victorious over death, victorious over hell, victorious over the grave. He leads captivity captive. And then He ascends back unto the Father and He gives gifts unto men. And then He allows us to live here in this world. Mankind is still here. And we're waiting though, aren't we? We know that He is already victorious. He's already won the victory. He's on the throne. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. He's ascended there, sat down on the right hand of the Father. The reason that He sat down is that He finished the work the Father gave Him to do in redemption. And our home in heaven, get this, is absolutely secure. Because of Jesus. Not because of me and what I do for Jesus. Not because of you and what you do for Jesus. But all because of Him and what He's done for us. I'd rather rest in that any time than rest in me. And you know, not to be rude, but I'd rather rest in Him than rest in you. And I know you would rather rest in him than rest in me, because y'all see what a mess I am. But I'll tell you this, in the Lord, you and I have not only been given life, but we've been given the ability to live that life in a way that will honor and glorify God. You've been given the gifts that you need. You've been given the talents that you need. You've been given the blessings that you need. It has already been given to you as according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's already yours. It's given to you. Why? Because Jesus loved you enough before the very foundation of the world to come here into this world according to the will of the Father, and he gave his life for as many as the Lord had given him, and every one of them that he died for and paid the sin debt for, he in time gives them life, and then the ability, he gives us the ability to live that life, and he fully equips us for the fight. We mentioned about being in a fight. Well, you're in a fight, but you're not unarmed in this battle. You're in a fight, but you're not unequipped for this battle. You've been called unto service. It wasn't a volunteer organization. He didn't just say, okay, do we have any volunteers? Will you help me? The world talks about Jesus and God as if God can't do anything unless man helps him. God can't accomplish anything unless man volunteers. God can't get his work done, can't get his will done, can't save his people, can't do anything unless man helps him. And yes, men have responsibilities and we have duties, and we want to point to some of that. But I want you to know what God does, no man can let, no man can hinder. And what God wills, what God sees fit to do, is as good as done. Because our God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost cannot fail. And your salvation, your home in heaven, your eternal inheritance is not in any way you and God getting it done. It's all together in what he's done for you. And unless you understand that, you cannot really operate in a way that's pleasing unto God, because you're still, and I am still, if we're there, still trusting in ourselves too much. You know, some people say, well, you just don't have enough self-confidence. I find that's not the problem with men. The problem with men is their pride. They have too much confidence in us, in me, in you. We have too much pride. We have too much idea and thought. I can do this. I can handle this. When the Bible very clearly tells us that the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, he won't even seek after God. That keeps you from looking to God when you think you can handle it. That keeps you messing up when you think you can handle it. That keeps you off track until you recognize, first and foremost, without the Lord, I can't do anything. I can't trust him enough. I can't be what I need to be in this world. I am not equipped in myself. But in him, as the scripture says, in Christ, we can do what? All things. Oh, what kind of things? Anything you want to? No, that's not what he's talking about. When he says all in the Bible, it doesn't always mean everything. It means the all things under consideration. I remember Brother Skeen a long time ago talking about when the Lord, talking about the word all. He said when a train conductor goes out and says all aboard, he's not talking about everybody in the world. He's talking about those who have a ticket. He's talking about those who are supposed to be on the trip. He's talking to a particular all. And I want you to know the all that the Lord saved, the all that he died for, the all that he paid the sin debt for was his children that he loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. Do you love the Lord this morning? If you love him, you know why? He first loved you. And if you love him, he has awakened you by his grace. He's called you. He's spoken to you. I don't know when it happened. For some of God's little children, it happens when they're still in their mother's womb. He has the power to speak to them and give life to them there. And they come into this world just knowing God, seeming like they've always known him. I could not remember a time they haven't known him. For others, it might be later on in life. For the thief on the cross, I believe It was in some of his last hours that he was there dying on the cross, and the Lord spoke to him and he cried out from his heart, God, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The thing is if you love the Lord today, it's an evidence you're born of his Spirit. And I can't, I want to encourage you to understand that heaven is your home, if that's the case, because of what he's done for you, so that you're not in any way today leaving, trusting in what you did to get to heaven, because you're not having peace with that, are you? You know who will have peace when you're trusting in yourself? Not one. But when you trust in the Lord, you have peace, you have rest, and you have joy. He says in verse 14 of Matthew 25, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Our Lord descended from heaven, and then he did what the Father gave him to do. All that the Father giveth me, he would not lose one of them, but raise them up again at the last day. And he accomplished that. And then he ascended back unto the Father. And when he ascended back unto the Father, he gave gifts unto men. And he calls men, those that he has died for and paid the sin debt for, he calls them out of death to life. And he quickens them and makes them alive. We could spend the first part, probably all the time today, talking about the wonderful blessings that he has given you, in that he's given you life. And he's given you a life to live, to praise him, to honor him, and to glorify him. And he's totally equipped you with all that you need to do that. He's given you a voice to lift it up in praise and honor and glory to God. And if the voice cracks and breaks a little bit, he's given you a heart that can sing just as loud as anybody's heart, and that can praise him. And if if he's given you hands to use in his service. You said, how can my hands be used to serve God? He says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. How can my feet be used? You used your feet this morning to bring you to the house of God so that you might sit here and we could sing together. I hope you sang this morning from your heart to the Lord. And then we use your voice to praise and honor Him and glorify Him. And you use your mind to think about Him and meditate upon Him. He gives you all of these capabilities and all of these strengths and all of these gifts, these talents. Now, these talents was money. And He uses that picture of money and how that money ought to be used in a right way. And then as you use it, God will add to it and God will bless it. And then you hear in your heart when you're on track with the Lord that sweet sound when He comes to reckon with you, when you're doing the right thing, when you're in the right place, when you're where you're supposed to be, when you're keeping His commandments, when you've heard Him knocking at the door and you get up and answer the door and you say, Lord, please come in with me and sup with me and sit with me. When you're at the house of God and you're reading your Bible and He's feeding you from the bountiful His bountiful hand from above and you're able to fellowship with others of God's children. When you're talking late at night to someone on the phone when both of you ought to be asleep, but you're talking about things that are so important, that are so wonderful that the world would consider foolishness, but you wouldn't trade for anything because of what the Lord's allowed you to see. And you hear His voice saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen, whether He gave you five talents, I don't know what your estimation of yourself is, but I feel like if I ask most of you, you'd say, well, I'm looking for my one talent. I wonder what that is. I've even had precious brothers and sisters that I've seen so much evidence in of the work of Almighty God, so many blessings that I've seeing come from them that has been to me personally and has been such a help to me personally. Ask questions like, what gift do I have? What talent do I have? What ability do I have? Where is it that, what am I, what did, why did God call me? I don't know exactly why God called me or you or any of us. I know this, He didn't call us because He couldn't do it on His own. He called us because He loved us and He saw fit to love us and He gave you gifts. He gave you talents. He gave you abilities to use in this world in a way that you let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and you glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brother Daddy always emphasized the word so. Let your light so shine. In other words, don't just let it shine, but let it so shine that everybody knows this light didn't come out of me. This light isn't, I'm not the light source. If I'm anything at all, I'm just a reflector where I want to point to the one who's given me every good thing, who's given me my mind, who's given me my thoughts, who's given me my understanding of Scripture, who's given me all of the blessings that He so richly blessed so that I live in such a way that I'm always in my walk, in my talk, in my, not only when I'm preaching, but when I'm living my life in this world, I'm always pointing to Him. Brethren, I'll tell you, that's a battle in this world that God's little children need to fight the good fight of faith. And as we've heard recently preached here from this pulpit, I heard it through Zoom, but y'all heard it, so many of you in person, how we're to put on what? The whole armor of God. We're to put on His helmet. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're to put on to have our loins girt about with the truth. We're to put on our feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to take the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and we're to go forward in the battle. There's no armor for the backside. There's no armor. We're to move forward in faith, trusting in the Lord, realizing, no, we don't have any ability other than that which He's given us. But I want you to know God gives all of His children their gifts, and He gives you those special gifts for the special place that you have here, even in this little church house. He didn't give us all the same gift. He didn't give us all the same understanding. He didn't give us all the same capabilities. God's sovereign. You know what God does? just exactly what he wants to. And that's good, that he does what he pleases, when he pleases, and how he pleases, and everything that he does is good and right. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, and he called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Over in the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. And I'll just share this verse with you real quick. Chapter 4 and verse 7. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That means he's given to each and every one of us not only life, but he's given us the talents and the gifts that he's given us to use here in this world. And he says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Verse 15 says, unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. The world would immediately say that would be unfair if God would do that. No, God's just. It all belongs to him. He gives them. He gives unto them exactly what he would have them have, and he gives them according to their own ability. You see, when he tells you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he also tells you it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So whatever he calls us to do, he'll give you the ability to do. Whatever you feel that burden in your heart from the Lord to do, he'll give you the strength to do it. Whether you feel like you have it or not is irrelevant. It's by what God has promised. And if he's called you to do something, he'll give you the strength and the ability to do it. Listen, when he says fight the good fight of faith, he'll give you the strength to fight it. When he tells you to trust in him and believe in him, he'll give you faith that enables you to trust in him and believe in him. You and I can depend upon him taking care of us, and therefore we should not take the talent he's given us, the blessing, the gift that he's given us, and bury it in the ground saying, God's going to do it whether I do it or not. Now that's a reality. He didn't say you were wrong that I cannot, let me try to get this a little. Wow, okay. It says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. What does that mean? That means he took what God had given him and he let it shine. He lived it. He put it into place in his life. Now listen, that's what we should be praying each day. Lord, help me. Use the gifts and the ability that thou hast given me in thy service to honor and to praise thee. That I lose my life that I might find it. Not so that I live for myself, but I live to the glory and the honor of God. And I'm a servant. I'm a servant because he called me into service. I didn't look for the Lord. He found me. The Lord found me. And when he found me, I was in a waste howling wilderness. And he put a new song in my mouth. And he set my feet upon a rock. And he called me into his service. And I am to live that and to use the talents that God gave me. That one that had the 5 talents, he went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He grew in grace and knowledge of the truth. And likewise, he that had received 2, he had also gained other 2. What I want to point out here is whether he had 5 talents or 2 talents. The blessing came in using what God gave you. It isn't about how much you got or how little you got. It's about what God has given you, and you use that. And if you use what God has given you, whether it's a 2 talent or 5 talents, whatever it is, if the 1 talent had used his talent, he would have got another talent. And he would have been hearing the exact same words from the Lord that said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God doesn't require you to be somebody else. God requires you to be who he has made you to be and would have you walk in a way to please him and honor him and glorify him. It doesn't matter in my preaching efforts that I can't preach like brother so-and-so or I can't be like this one or that one. God didn't call me to be brother so-and-so. God called me to preach as he gives me the ability. And what's true of a preacher is true of those in the pew. What God has called you to do, he didn't give you somebody else's gift, somebody else's talent. He gave you exactly what he saw fit to give you. And what is your responsibility and duty? Is to use what God has given you to His service, in His service. Now, how can we do that? By prayer, looking to the Lord, leaning upon the Lord, asking for His wisdom and guidance, and God will lead us and direct us so that you are a blessing to the Lord's house. And the Lord is the one. You know, somebody said, well, doesn't this give a man a place to boast? And the answer to that is absolutely not. There's no room for boasting here. The man wasn't boasting. He says, Lord, I've got 5 talents. You gave me 5 talents. Here I've gained 5 talents more. He's not saying I want credit for this. What he's recognizing is God has given me increase. Haven't you found out as you're laboring in the labor, in the you may not feel that you know very much about the Bible, but as you go to study the Bible, the Lord allows you to see things that you didn't see before. And the next thing you know, what you didn't know, now you do know to some degree. We got a breakaway. That's all right. He's going to come up and help me. Oh, me. Anyway, what I'm saying, and I'm so glad they're here, y'all. I'm telling you, y'all bear with that. I've been praying they'd be here. God's answered that prayer. I wish we had a house full of them where we had to deal with it. That would be like having a parking problem. I wish we had more of a parking problem. I'm telling you, what we're talking about is what God's done for His people. And He's blessed us so wonderfully. And we ought to be appreciative enough so that we're not sitting there saying, God, look how much I've done for You. But I'm saying, oh Lord, look how much Thou hast done for me. And Lord, help me use the talent You've given me. Help me use them in Thy service. Help me, Lord, labor. Help me be willing. Don't let me complain as much as I've been complaining. Lord, help me just trust in Thee more and more. So that when I'm called and He does. Listen, this is not talking about God coming back and reckoning with us in the last day and then handing out rewards and merit badges like they do in school for you doing this and that. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord comes again, the only one who's going to get any praise is the one who deserves all praise, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And any blessing we have, if it's a crown on my head, like you said one time, Brother Terry, we're going to cast that crown down at His feet because all of it belongs to Him. And I'm telling you, every blessing I have here in time, and He has blessed my life abundantly. How about you? Has He blessed you? Then what ought you to do? I surely oughtn't take that gift that He's given me and bury it in the ground and say, God's going to do it anyway. I don't need to do anything. Yes, you do need to do something. Not because God needs help, but it's a great blessing when you can feel His presence. I want to feel His presence. Now, I know it's a whole lot in between here. I want to point this out, that the 5 talents and the 2 talents, it wasn't about how many talents you had, it's about using what God gave you. And if you use what God gave you, if you read the words, there's only, I believe, one word different between the commendation, and that doesn't change the meaning, between what God said to the 5 talent that used His 5 talents and the 2 talents that used His 2 talents, the same words came to both of them. One received 2 talents more. The other received 5 talents more. And He says, you've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you a ruler in many things, which means get ready. If you use what God's given you, He's going to give you more to do. In other words, if you get busy, if you exercise your gift and do what God would have you to do, then you'll find yourself having to do it more and in more places. He'll open up doors for you. He'll open up places for you. He'll have you very active in your life. You will live a life that's full of what? The joy of the Lord. You know what David lost when he ran off into the world and he committed that sin with Bathsheba and even did that terrible thing of killing Bathsheba's husband in order that he might take her and cover up his sins. And all that happened, you know where David found himself? He found himself in a dark, outer darkness, cast away, separated. So much he cried out unto the Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. I need Him today, don't you? And when I don't feel Him, this world's dark. Isn't it dark? It's cold. It's barren. But when I can hear him say in my heart, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He blesses us in obedience. Here's what he said. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man. I want to say to you today, that's something, if you ever start thinking about God as a hard man, you're mixed up. God's not a hard taskmaster. I was thinking of the wonderful verse over there in Psalm 103. Many of you, I'm sure, know this so well, but I want to read it in your hearing about the Lord not being a hard man. You know, if you say, well, I got a hard boss, I got a hard master. No, God's not a hard master. God's not a hard boss. I want you to know what God is according to the Bible. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 103. It says, the Lord is merciful. Doesn't sound hard to me, does it you? The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's not a hard master. He's merciful and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. You know our God is slow to anger. And he's plenteous in mercy. That means he's loaded with mercy and he's slow to anger. That's who we serve. The Lord is merciful and he's gracious. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He won't always be angry with you. Although you may have seasons where you feel his chastisement, he does it lovingly. He's a loving father. He's not an abusive father. He's not an abusive parent. And he says, he had dealt with us after our sins. Does that sound good to you today? That he didn't deal with you after your sins? Nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. He didn't just give us what we deserve. No, it's his grace. When he sowed the 5 talents, he sowed them in grace. When he reaped the 5 more, he reaped it in grace. God gave the increase. It came from the Lord. So the 5 talents that he gave, even though in using them he gained 5 more, where did it all come from? It all came from the Lord. The Lord was the one who brought out the benefit. Have you ever worked really hard on something and it just all flopped and nothing came from it? It just didn't turn out to be anything. You work real hard at it and you think, I'll get that done. What is the difference then when things go well and when things don't go well? God is the one who gives the increase. A farmer puts the seed in the ground, but who's the one who gives the increase? Only the Lord. Who's the one that blesses your labor and makes it turn out okay? You can't look at it and say, look what I've done. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar did that and he found himself in a bad spot real quick. I'm telling you, we're not to give anyone the praise but the Lord. He goes on and he says, he hath not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And here's that hard man he was talking about, not hard. He says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That means that's who we're talking to when you pray to the Lord. You don't have to be afraid of him. See, what happened was he saw him as a hard man and became afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him. Reverence him. Respect him, honor him, bow down to him. But remember when you're praying to God, you're praying to your Father who is in heaven that pitieth you like we do our children. We'll do anything to help them. We're praying for them and hoping things work out well for them. We don't want to harm them. But yet if we're faithful, we'll have to chasten them from time to time and correct them from time to time so that they might grow. And we do that not because we hate them. If we didn't do that, that would show that we hated them. But we do it because we love them. Little Piper Jane was talking to her at the table, and I corrected her. And she didn't listen. So Papa had to put on his teacher's voice, and he had to speak a little louder. And I really laid it out pretty good to her. And she's got the tears in her eyes running down her face. And she says, "We don't yell at people." And I told her, "Honey, I love you. And it's because I love you that I want you to do better and act better and behave better. It's because I love you." And that's a lesson we sometimes feel that, the Lord may be feeling like He's yelling at us. No, He loves you. That's why He corrects you. If you've been corrected by the Lord, and I feel surely you have, if you've been corrected by the Lord, it's because He loved you. That's why He's given us His Word and given us the direction and even this instruction this morning. He says, "His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gathered where I have not strawed." He said, "You're a hard man. You reap where you haven't sowed. You've gathered where you have not strawed." And what he said is, God's going to take care of it anyway. You ever get that idea? God will just take care of it. I don't have to do anything. God's going to do it. No. God has said to us, "This is what I would have you to do." And as I heard a brother say one time, and I thought it was very clear and plain, God is not going to do for you that which He has called and expected you to do. He will give you that which you're to do, and He will bless you in the doing. He will work in you both the ability and the will to do it. And you're to work, but you are responsible for working out what God worked in. And if we say God's just going to take care of it, and He's a hard man, and we get scared, and we bury our talent in the ground, we think, of what benefit is it? The old devil would like you to think, what benefit is it? I'm telling you, you may not know what that is, and you may never know. But what God's given you is a special gift that you need to use in His service. And when you use it, there's a blessing in using it. That simply means take up your cross and be obedient to Him and doing what He leads you in His heart and what He guides you by His Word to do in your life. And the Lord, as you let your light so shine before men, others will see your good works, and it'll all be about giving God the glory and the honor and the praise in your life. And that's a life worth living. That is a life that says, "For to me to live is Christ, and then dying is gain." I'm telling you, it's laid out here. He says, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that hath 10 talents. And that simply means the gift God has given you, you can lose that gift. That's a frightful thought. That God would remove from us the gift that He has given us, the talents, the abilities that He has given to us, because we do not use them. But the Bible very clearly says here, take the talent from him. That's one of His little children. That's one that belongs to Him. Yes, he ends up in outer darkness, but I don't believe that's talking about eternal woe, eternal misery. There is an eternal hell, and that is prepared for the devil and his angels and for all of those that are not of the elect family of God. Of those that are His servants, have been called out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. They've been given talents, and they've been given abilities, and they're required to use them. If they fail to use them, this old world can become outer darkness. Listen, it already is. All you have to do is get stuck like the prodigal son in it for a little while, and you'll see soon how this world is not a friend to the little child of grace. Do you think this world's going to pick you up as a little child of grace and help you along the way? No, it'll cast you out. Some of you have been there. I say it this way, all of us have been there from time to time, haven't we? Where we feel away from the Lord, where we feel like we're in a dark, cold place. How can we get out of that? What should we do? We should use the gifts and the talents that the Lord has given us to use. Even the Apostle Paul said when he had preached to others, he had a fear of what? Becoming a castaway. That doesn't mean he's going to lose his eternal home. Nobody taught eternal security better than the Apostle Paul, or more than the Apostle Paul. Once saved, always saved. Eternally speaking. But you can lose, like David said, the joy of thy salvation. Psalm 51. This is that cold, dark place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Psalm 51, David was in it and found it. find this. Verse 12. Verse 11. Here's what David said. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He wasn't talking about losing his eternal destiny and his eternal home. He's talking about communion with God. He wasn't talking about relationship. He was talking about fellowship. He was talking about having that peace that he found in the house of God. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that he might have communion with the Lord. But what he was talking about is being in that cold place that he couldn't feel him. He couldn't talk to him. He didn't have communion with him. He was still God's and he belonged to him, but he lost the joy because he got wrapped up in this world. He took his talent and he buried it in the ground. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." May the Lord bless us to be faithful in taking what he's given us and using it. Not burying it in the ground. Not taking it for granted. Not saying God's just going to do what he's going to do. It's kind of like what someone would say, well, if grace is grace and salvation is secure, why do I need to do anything? You need to do it because God has told us this is what we ought to do. And listen, the fact that God is so good should motivate us to be active in his service. Fact is, God's going to take care of you. We can lean and trust and depend upon him. I got a whole lot more to say. Time is gone. I'm going to read the last couple verses. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Not eternal woe. It's in this world, being out of fellowship with the Lord, in a place like the prodigal son was, where you don't have peace with the Lord. Into outer darkness there shall be weeping, and there is going that weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like a good place to be. May the Lord help us to hear from him each day as we live our lives. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We walk pleasing to the Lord. And the only way we can do that, listen, I haven't left with grace this morning. The only way you can do that is by God's grace. You can't do it on your own. You don't have the ability. But when you lean on the Lord, will he give you a good thing if you ask for it? He said he would. I believe him. I believe you do too. May the Lord bless us. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
I hope it was good. Give the Lord.